The Eagle's Shadow by James Branch Cabell. 5. They talked for a matter of a half hour in the fashion aforetime recorded. Not very wise nor witty talk, if you will, but very pleasant to make. There were many pauses. There was much laughter over nothing in particular. There were any number of sentences ambitiously begun that ended nowhere. Altogether, it was just the sort of talk for a man and a maid. Yet some 20 minutes later, Mr. Woods, preparing for luncheon in the privacy of his chamber, gave a sudden exclamation. Then he sat down and rumpled his hair thoroughly. "Good Lord!" he groaned. "I'd forgotten all about that damned money! Oh, you ass! You abject ass! Why, she's one of the richest women in America! And you're only a fifth-rate painter, with a paltry 1,000 or so a year! You marry her! Why, I dare say she's refused 100 men better than you! She'd think you were mad! Why, she'd think you were after the money! She'd only think you a precious, cheeky ass, she would. And she'd be quite right. You are an ass, Billy Woods. You ought to be locked up in some nice, quiet stable where your hee-hawing wouldn't disturb people. You need a keeper, you do." He sat for some 10 minutes aghast. Afterward, he rose and threw back his shoulders and drew a deep breath. "No, we aren't an ass," he addressed his reflection in the mirror, as he carefully knotted his tie. "We're only a poor, chuckle-headed moth who's been looking at a star too long. It's a bright star, Billy, but it isn't for you. So we're going to be sensible now. We're going to get a telegram tomorrow that will call us away from Selwood. We aren't coming back anymore either. We're simply going to continue painting fifth-rate pictures and hoping that someday she'll find the right man and be very, very happy." Nevertheless, he decided that a blue tie would look better, and was very particular in arranging it. At the same moment, Margaret stood before her mirror and tidied her hair for luncheon, and assured her image in the glass that she was a weak-minded fool. She pointed out to herself the undeniable fact that Billy, having formerly refused to marry her, oh, ignominy, seemed pleasant-spoken enough now that she had become an heiress. His refusal to accept part of her fortune was a very flimsy device. It simply meant he hoped to get all of it. Oh, he did he? Margaret powdered her nose viciously. She saw through him. His honest bearing she very plainly perceived to be the result of consummate hypocrisy. In his laughter, her keen ear detected a hollow ring, and his courteous manner she found, at bottom, mere servility. And finally she demonstrated, to her own satisfaction at least, that his charm of manner was of exactly the same sort that had been possessed by many other eminently distinguished criminals. How did she do this? My dear sir, you had best inquire of your mother, or your sister, or your wife, or any other lady that your fancy dictates. They know. I am sure I don't. And after it all, oh dear, dear, said Margaret, I do wish he didn't have such nice eyes.